said that he had a lease, although he could never produce anything. And then he finally said, I'm a professional squatter. I'm a professional squatter, and I know my rights. And apparently in Chicago, the squatters, people who just come into a home, take over it, they have rights, and you know, you can't just go and throw somebody like that out, or the owner of that house could be arrested. And so, you know, they have to go by the different steps and giving them a notice of certain things. And so apparently this is a growing problem in that area in our country as well. Some similarities to that situation in the parable that Jesus confronts the religious people with. He tells not about a home, but about a vineyard that had been rented out, and how the owner of that vineyard comes to receive the rent, so to speak, a portion of the harvest, and those renters are not at all willing to cooperate. And Jesus is telling this parable to tell us something about what is going to happen to him and what is the role of the religious people here. And so let's look at this parable here. Jesus tells this story to make a point, and we see how it begins with the preparation of the vineyard. Verse 33, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. We see here of a vineyard, and we know from the scriptures that the picture of a vineyard is something that represents Israel. We could go back to Isaiah chapter 5. If you go back and read verses 1 through 7, you see that almost exact same wording is repeated there in Isaiah 5. And it says in Isaiah 5:7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And so anybody familiar with the Old Testament would realize that Jesus is describing his people Israel and all that had been done to Israel, you know, so to speak, planted this vineyard and hedged it round about, put a fence around this vineyard so that animals could not get in and destroy the vineyard, and digged a wine press in it and built a tower probably so that they could watch over things that were going on in the vineyard and protect the vineyard. We see everything that had been done to prepare it. And then he rented it out to these tenants, to these husbandmen. He left for a far country. And he gave the responsibility of the care of it to others. And he expected to receive a portion of that crop back. And then the time comes for that to happen, and we read about the mistreatment of the messengers. He sends messengers to receive the fruits. Verse 35, and the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. And so the servants are sent, and they're mistreated by the renters, the husbandmen. And then finally, we see that the owner of the vineyard decides to send his son, verse 38, or verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. So the master sends his son finally. And of course, we can see the obvious parallel, what this represents. I think it makes us think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. But they mistreat the son. They do not feel... they feel this is their opportunity. And they take the son and they cast him out of the vineyard. And they slew him. They kill him. Then I want us to notice the principles here that we can learn from this parable. We see Christ pointing those principles out. And he begins by asking the religious leaders a question about this. Verse 40, his question to them, "When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" See that Christ wants these people to consider for themselves. I think that's one of the first lessons or principles that we can learn from this, that God wants us to do as well, and that is to consider for ourselves. Consider for yourself. Think of this parable, and we see that Jesus is inviting them to think upon it and come to their own conclusions. What will be done to those husbandmen, those renters who mistreat the messenger? What will be done to the people who turn away from God's love? And I think even for us today, even for us this week, could we consider for ourselves these same questions? As we think about what Christ did in the days leading up to his crucifixion, as we think about what he did there on the cross, and in the work that he did, the things that he said, can we consider that for ourselves? What should be done to those who reject Jesus Christ? What should be done for people who respond to Jesus Christ? Consider for yourself what people should do. Consider how you should respond. And we see the religious leaders answer Christ's question in obvious ways. Verse 41, "They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season." So they say, these wicked men deserve to be destroyed. And the master has every right to give the vineyard to others, to let other people have the privileges there. That's the conclusion that these religious leaders, these unbelievers come to that conclusion. Consider these things for yourself. Christ invites people today to consider the things that God has done. And then a second principle that we see Christ pointing out is to read the Scriptures, verse 42. "Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read the Scriptures?" Read in the Scriptures. "The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." See here again, Christ points these religious men back to the Scriptures. He says, did ye never read the Scriptures? Did they ever do that? I mean, they should have. They were the religious leaders. They were the ones who claimed to be in a position to teach Israel. But Christ comes and says, did you ever read it? Did you ever read the Scriptures? And perhaps that's where the problem lies today as well. And I believe that we would do well to ask this same question. Have ye never read the Scriptures? People today can be just like these religious leaders, and we don't really have an interest in the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures show? The Scriptures show the rejection of the stone. Here, Christ refers to Psalm 118. It's interesting that Psalm 118 is the same psalm that the people of Israel are quoting when they say, "Hosanna to the Son of David." When they cry those things in the triumphal entry, that comes from Psalm 118. And here, Christ is pointing them back to Psalm 118. And he is showing them that this psalm shows the rejection of the stone. The builders rejected the stone. The religious leaders are the builders. They are the husbandmen, the tenants in this parable. And they've rejected the Son, the stone. Now, the picture here in this verse is of a stone mason. And if you can picture that, a builder using stone, and he probably has access to building materials, and maybe they are nearby the structure that he is building, or maybe he is at a stone quarry or something, and he's looking at all the different stones that could be used, and he's looking at the quality of them and how they look, and will they fit in the structure that he is has in his mind to build or that's on the plan. And he's choosing the building materials. What building materials is he going to use? Which one is good? And he picks up the stones and he feels them. This is the one I want. And Christ is using that picture here. The scriptures use that picture of what was done in Israel. The leaders are like a stonemason. They're choosing their building materials. And they pick up that stone, which is Christ. Or they look at it. And they have a problem with it. They say, no, not this stone. This stone will not work. They set it aside. We're going to use other stones in our structure. But what they don't realize is that they've rejected the cornerstone. The scriptures show the rejection of the stone. But the scriptures also show the Lord's working. Notice verse 42 again. Did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. The scriptures show the Lord's working. This is the Lord's doing. This is God's plan. Say, what is? Well, even the rejection of the cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone, the most important stone in the structure. And the builders, the leaders of Israel, they have rejected the most important stone. And yet, the scripture tells us this is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. God permitted this cruel treatment which was about to take place. And as we come here in this Passion Week, as we approach the time when Jesus was betrayed, when he was handed over to the Jewish authorities and to the Roman authorities, we see all of that take place. We see the injustice of it. We see Christ suffering as a criminal. He was executed next to two criminals. And he had done nothing wrong. And yet we look at the scriptures and we see this is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. The scriptures also show us marvelous things. Look at the end of verse 42. This is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous. In our eyes. It is marvelous in our eyes. Scriptures show us marvelous things. They make us marvel. They make us amazed. It's amazing that God would bring Christ, His Son, to such a place. It's amazing that God can take something that is a tragedy. That's what it is. As we read about Christ and we think about His crucifixion, from a human perspective, it is a great tragedy. Here is this one who did nothing wrong. And yet he suffered and he died. He was crucified. He was executed. And we see that God uses that. And he makes it to be the greatest blessing that the world will ever know. That's amazing. That God can do that. In His providence, in His sovereignty, the Scriptures show us marvelous things. And so as we come again to another Passion Week and Easter season, we should be amazed. We should look at these marvelous things that have taken place and the things that God has done for us. We should be amazed at His plan, amazed at His love for us, amazed that when Christ died, He was bearing our sin. And amazed that God has revealed this to us in the Scriptures, even prophesied it. So we need to read the Scriptures. And then, verse 43, Jesus says to these religious leaders, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." Here's another lesson that we learn, and that is to recognize that privileges may be taken away. Recognize that privileges may be taken away. Jesus here is talking about Israel, talking about the religious leaders and the privileges that they enjoy. The kingdom would be taken from them as a nation. Of course, other scriptures tell us that God is not finished with Israel. And for the moment, they are set aside. Blindness has come to Israel. Romans 11 tells us God is not done with Israel. Romans 11, verse 1 says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For Paul says, I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. And we see from the New Testament that God establishes the church, which is made up of both Jew and Gentile, and which I think explain some of the things that Jesus says here. But for Israel as a nation, their privileges were taken away. And we need to recognize that privileges may be taken away. For us today, I think we need to see the warning here for the fact that God will not permit an individual or a family or a local church or a nation to go on and on with spiritual privileges if they don't respond to the Lord Jesus Christ and make use of them. He may take them away. He may give that privilege to another. And I think as we look at our nation, you know, we have to wonder, is that going to happen to us soon? Are our privileges going to be taken away? Are we already in judgment? According to Romans 1, we are. But we need to heed the warning here that privileges may be taken away. We see that from Israel. That's what happened to them. This is the warning that Christ is giving. And then verse 44, another principle that we see Christ pointing out from this parable, be careful not to stumble. Look at verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Those who stumble on Christ, the cornerstone, will be broken. You know, many people today are stumbling on Christ. They're coming to Christ and there's something that bothers them about Jesus Christ that makes them not want to embrace Jesus Christ. And they are offended. They stumble. Talked with a man this week who had said he knew the gospel and he seemed to know at least a portion of it, but he kept going back to there's many paths, many paths to God. And, you know, we can learn from many faiths. And that's something that people stumble on. When it comes to Christ, when Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life, people come and they look at Christ and they stumble at the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. And some are like the Jews even today. They stumble on Christ. They stumble at His teaching. They stumble at His upholding of God's righteous law. I think today many are stumbling on what Christ said about marriage in Matthew 19:4. He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? You know, people are stumbling at that today. People are saying, no, that's not loving. How could that be that God has made us male and female? No, we can be whatever we want. And people are stumbling at that teaching of Christ. And He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. A man cleaving to his wife, a man and a woman joining in marriage. People come and they stumble on that. So, no, we can make marriage whatever we want it to be. Be careful not to stumble. Those who stumble on Christ will be broken. Whosoever shall fall on this stone, Christ, the cornerstone, shall be broken. And then notice, those who reject Christ will be crushed. Verse 44, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Can you imagine a stone falling from the sky? It is rare, but there are meteorites that fall from the sky Sometimes they're burnt up in the Earth's atmosphere, but you can go online and read about meteorites from space that actually fall from the sky. And if they make it through the Earth's atmosphere and they come crashing down, you know, they make a huge impact on this Earth. Boom, huge crater. And whatever's underneath that is destroyed. And that's the picture here of what happens to those who reject Christ. He becomes the stone that comes falling through the sky, and on whom it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Those who reject Christ will be crushed. They'll be crushed in judgment someday. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." That's talking about what happens at the second coming. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And those people who reject Christ are going to be like they're underneath that stone that comes crashing down out of the sky. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction. And that's what Jesus is warning these religious leaders about. If they reject Him. You know, the Bible clearly teaches us that hell is real and eternal punishment is coming for those who reject Christ. And when we die, when a person dies today, they go either to heaven or hell. And a person will go to hell. You will go to hell if you reject Jesus Christ, if you fail to make Him the most important thing about your life. If you reject Him, if you say, you know what, I don't like this stone in my building, I'm going to just set this stone aside like these builders did, these religious leaders. There's destruction for you. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go to hell. You can receive Jesus Christ and you can trust in Him. You can see what He did for you and how He suffered for you. When He was on the cross, He was crushed in your place. God's wrath was poured out on Him. He took that destruction. He took that punishment that you deserve. And if you receive Him, if you trust in Him, you can be saved from what Jesus is talking about. Be careful not to stumble. Be careful not to stumble on this stone. So as we enter this important time, this Passion Week, let us remember what Christ taught about it. You know, as He gave this parable, He was prophesying. He was telling them in advance what they were in fact doing. They were rejecting the final messenger that was coming to receive the rent from this vineyard. They couldn't see it. They didn't want to see it. Let's consider it ourselves. Let's read the Scriptures which tell of what Christ did. And these last chapters of the Gospels, so much of the Gospels is about just this one week. All that from Matthew 21 on to the end of Matthew. Basically, it's just one week. All these events happened in this last week, such an important week in the life of Christ. We ought to read it. And we need to heed the warnings that we're given. Most of all, let us come to faith and accept the personal work of Jesus Christ for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd help us to consider for ourselves the things that You've given us in Your Word, to read the Scriptures. Help us not to be like these blind leaders of Your people. Help us to make sure that we're not like that. that we accept Jesus Christ. We don't set Him aside looking for something else. Help us to make sure that we put our faith and trust in Jesus and what He has done for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books now, and we'll turn to number 204. And we'll sing together, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Number 204. That's what we need to do. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. We find the things of earth growing strangely dim in the light of His glory.